I want to tell you, Scripture says that every time we come here, God is present to heal and to save. Okay? So as you come forward, you know, you need to know the Word. Because see, if you don't know the Word, you can't, you know, apply it. You can't take it in. Matthew 13:19 says that when we hear the word and do not understand it, what takes place is that that other guy, we're not going to mention him because it's not worth it, you know? He comes in and he will steal it from us. But you see, we're fortunate because God is always knocking. Revelation 3:20 says he stands at the door. You know, what door is that? Your door. My door, our door. He stands at the door and he knocks. You know why? Because sometimes we lose our place. Sometimes we're so involved with this and that and the other that we forget, and we think we're doing his will. You know, but actually we're not, because when it's his time, in other words, like today, you know, we need to be here. You know, if there's a special service, what do we need to be? We need to be at that special service, you know. We can't live from Sunday to Wednesday to Sunday, you know. So even in our homes, we need to get involved and set a time apart for the Word. You see? And who's the Word? But Jesus. Jesus is the Word. The author of Hebrews says that the Word is alive and active.
Yes.
See, God's not dead. He's alive. No way. No way. No way. And today, we have come here, you know, to hear the Word. You know, just going back to what Dave was saying, you know, about worship. Scripture says there in Psalms 22, and verse 33, that the Lord abides in the worship of his people. Yeah. So you see, you may feel like, well, there's a low because it's not what we're really used to on a Wednesday, you know? But you know what? There is no low.
Right.
I mean, there is no low. It's all a high.
Yeah.
See, it's all how we perceive it to be. See, it's up to us to embrace the gift that God is affording us.
Amen.
See? And, you know, if you've been around me for a little while, you know that I'm a Word man. You know, I mean, I just love the Word. Because I used to be Hollywood, you know, and, you know, it was all a show. It was all makeup and things like that. And one day, you know, I got, you know, sort of smacked around a little bit, you know, it hurt, but you know, it was true. You see, we need we don't come here to be entertained. Let's put it this way. We come here to be fed, you know.
Yeah.
And I can't give you what I don't have, you know. It has to be fresh bread, fresh manna, you know. And as we come, and we come often, you know, we have to come with expectancy. You see, if you're not anticipating it, it's not going to show up, because God's not going to force anything on you. You know, when I wake up in the morning, I say, thank God that I'm not a sinner. But I'm about to put my feet on the ground, you know, and woe can be to me. Because as I step through that door, I don't know what's going to come, you know. So what do? I pray blessings. I say, my Father in heaven loves me, and he's going to do something wonderful for me today. And then I start mentioning all the people that I know. You know why? Because as I give, it will be given to me.
Yes.
You see? Yeah, and we often use that verse in the wrong manner, you know, because it's talking about forgiveness. You know, and sometimes people hurt us. I really believe that they don't really mean to often, but they hurt us, you know, and we hold on to that. And, you know, that's excess baggage. We need to get rid of that baggage as quickly as possible.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Well, God is good and God is here. You have your Bibles? Can you raise your Bible? You know, I always like to open this way, you know, because it's all right here. It's all right here. Whatever you need, Whatever question you have, whatever need you have, you're going to find the answer to it right here in this book. See, God is a pretty smart cookie. Let me tell you, he knew that the time would come. He knew that the time would come when, you know, technology would rule, and we could, you know, if you want to, we want a blue a dog with blue eyes, you could manufacture it practically, you know, shoot him up and whatever, and you have your dog with blue eyes, you know.
Yeah.
But you see, and you could go to all the all the libraries in the world, and you can't find an answer for everything. But in this book, you find the answer to everything.
Yeah.
Why is that? Again, because Hebrews 4:12 says that the Word is alive and active. You know, in John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You know, and I say, He is God. Let me tell you, He is real. He is real. You know, He is as real as you want Him to be. So raise your Bible and say with me, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
It contains the Word of God.
There are many like it.
But this one,
this one
is mine.
It says who I am.
It says who I will be. And today, when I believe it,
I will be
what it says
that I am.
You see, we are so fortunate, you know, we are so fortunate because God loves us, you know. John 3:16, what does it say? It says, for God so loved, put your name in there, I say Frank. God so loved Frank that he gave his son for me. You know, every time I find something, you know, that's good, I apply it to me. Because when I apply it to me, it's mine. You know? I mean, it's really mine. No one can take it away from me. I believe that God can do anything for me. I ask God for a lot of crazy stuff. Believe you me, those that know me know that I'm always asking God. And you know what? He's always showing up.
Yeah.
He is always showing up. You know, to me, it's always an honor and a privilege to be given the opportunity to share the Word. You see, like I said, there was a time when it was Hollywood. But now, I mean, sometimes people don't talk to me, you know? And I think the reason is because all I can talk is about the Word. You know? Can you picture that? All I can talk is about the Word, you know? And all the things that he's done, you know. Before I met the Lord, you know, I was a day late and a dollar short, you know. I was a Roman Catholic. People would say, are you Catholic? And I would say, no, I'm not Catholic. I'm a Roman Catholic. You know, it's my fault, my only fault. You see? In other words, I didn't just go to church on Christmas and Easter. And I went to church, you know. I could be right there with the priest. Word for word. I mean, after the 52 weeks, you know, and you've been there for 52 weeks, you know, several times, you know what's coming up. You know, I knew when to ring the bell and when to stand up. You know, I knew everything. But you know what? I didn't know the Word. You know, I came to Washington back in 76, and it was a mistake of waters. No. It wasn't a mistake of waters. I didn't go to the Pentagon because I wasn't supposed to be at the Pentagon. I was supposed to be here in Washington, you know? And just think about it, you know? I could have been over there, you know, with the cream of the crop. But where am I sent? I am sent to Washington, the darkest state, you know? You know? Think about it, the darkest state. You know? And then God sends me to Shelton. You know? Oh my God! What's up with that? You know? But by the time I got to Shelton, you know, I had been walking with the Lord for a while. And you know, they told me, you know, you're here now. And let me tell you, you're in a bad place because it's all darkness. I says, no, you're wrong. You're totally wrong. And they say, well, why am I wrong? I says, because I'm here. Okay? And I'm light. And darkness cannot prevail where there is light. Back home, we have caverns, you know, and they have tour guides, and they take you in through the cavern, you know, and once you're in there, they tell everybody, go ahead, back yourself against the wall. And don't move. Please don't move. We're going to shut the lights off. You know, and everybody backs up against the wall, and they shut the lights off, and they light one match. One match. And you can see everybody's face as clear as day with that one little light. So, I mean, if I'm here, there is no darkness, you know? You know, one of the first things that I did is I went around and I checked how many churches were in the city, you know, and there was, back then there was 26 churches. And I said, wow, that's pretty good. That's pretty awesome. You know, I think that there should be a church in every corner. You know why? Because if there's a church in every corner, nobody has an excuse to be late or be absent. Well, you know, yesterday as I was preparing to share today, I laid down before the Lord, you know. I mean, you know, Bible says like we could lay in bed and talk to him. Did you know that?
Yes.
No, you know, I laid down. I mean, let's take advantage of it. It's a Benny, you know. And then so I asked the Lord, what would you have me to share? And all I kept getting was the word, the word, the word, the word. And I'm going like, wow, what's up with that? And so, I mean, you know, sometimes we hear from God and we just don't get it. So I had to say, okay, Lord, well, you know, what is it? He said, the word. I said, Torah. Torah. The word. The truth of God. That's what he wanted me to talk about. You see, because remember, I talked about the Hollywood, you know. We don't want to go there. You know, we want to be real. You see, so we need to step aside and let God be God. You know, when we come to the house, again, as I said before, we don't come to be entertained. We come to be fed. And so I said, well, Lord, you know, let me have it. You know, and, you know, when you ask, and you tell the Lord, let me have it, he will let you have it. You know, be careful what you ask for, you know, because he will let you have it. So the first thing he did was he took me there to Habakkuk 2:20, you know, and I thought, well, that's pretty cool, you know, because years ago, decades ago, we used to open up our services with Habakkuk 2:20. Some of you may have been in churches that they did that, you know. What does Habakkuk 2:20 says? It says, the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. Now, you see, what's interesting about this is that the reason why he wants us to be silent is because if we're busy with this, that, and the other, we can't hear him. You know, and he wants to reveal himself to us. And he can't because, again, we are too busy hearing all those other voices, and let me tell you, all those other voices are really there to confuse you, you know, to take you away from what he has in store for you. You see, scripture tells us that God has a plan. You know, in Jeremiah 29:11, the word of God there goes out and tells us that, for I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to do you good and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. How about that? See, God is always interested in doing something good for us. Now, because God has a plan for us, you know, he cannot execute it unless we do our part. You see, it's important for us to hear and obey. See, in Isaiah 60 and verse 1, scripture there, what it really tells us is that we need to take a stand. Okay? We need to take a stand and assume our rightful position as the church of Christ. You see? For what does it say there? It says, arise and shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord is upon you.
Amen.
You know what that means? God is with you. You are no longer alone. You know, in fact, in Matthew 28, 20, it says, you know, that he will be with you until the very end. In fact, in Philippians 1, 6, what does it say? It says that he who began the good work in you will continue to do so until the day of Christ.
Yes.
You see, how many know that Jesus is not on the throne yet? Did you know that? Jesus is not on the throne yet. Jesus is at the right hand of God. But there's come a day when he will sit on the throne. And guess what? He's extended an invitation to you and to me. I feel fortunate. I feel blessed. God is interested in me attending, you know, going to his house, you know, looking around and seeing all the pretty things, you know, walking with him, and all of a sudden I'm going to see this big, humongous building, and it says my name on it. And I said, wait a minute. Why is my name up there? He says, because Frank, those were all the things that I had for you. You never asked. I said, and then you know what I would say? I'm glad I'm here now. I'm glad I'm here now because I want them. Yeah, wouldn't you want you? What's yours? You see, that's what it's all about. Exodus 33:14. He says that his presence is with us. And because his presence is with us, it is he who gives us rest.
Amen.
You know, we can rest in the Lord. You know, because he will do anything and everything to make us feel good. He will do for us those things that we can't do for ourselves. You see? And why is that? Well, Psalms 23 in verse 1 tells us that he is our shepherd. And what does a shepherd do? A shepherd watches over you. A shepherd cares for you. A shepherd feeds you. And you know what that means? That you do not lack. You have everything you could ever want. And you don't have to worry about it. Because God has provided. You see, as believers, what we need to do, what we need to practice, is that what Matthew 7 and 8 goes on to tell us. So, well, you see, we are to ask. We are to seek. We are to knock. You see? Because, what does the word say in 8? It says, because all those who ask, receive. All those who seek, find. All those who knock, a door is open. You know, Revelation 4:1 talks about the open door. And that open door is Jesus. That open door is Jesus. Jeremiah 33:3 tells us that we are to call out to him. You know? Why is that? You know? That's because when we call out to him, he will not only hear us, but he will answer us, and he will show us those things that we know very little of. You see? But it all goes along with asking, seeking, knocking, you know? Calling out means pray. We need to pray. We are living in dangerous times today. We need to pray like never before. See? And the Lord himself, there in Mark 11:22, Jesus says, trust in God. What a concept. I can trust in God. Ooh, you know, take advantage of that, you know. See, in 1 Peter 3 and verse 12, Scripture there tells us that the eyes of the Lord are upon us. And that's everybody. See, he is not a respecter of persons. He watches over us. He watched over me when I was out there in Never Never Land, you know, almost never ever to come out of it, you know. But he called me. You see, I didn't find Jesus. Jesus found me. See, he came to me, you know, and showed me a better way. Showed me a better way. So see. As we begin that walk, you know, his eyes are upon us. And you know, the verse doesn't stop there, because the word goes on and to say, and his ears are attentive to our prayers. Wow. Wow. See, there in the next two chapters in chapter 5, in verse 7 of 1 Peter, it says that we are to cast all our cares upon him. Why? Because he truly cares for us.
Yeah. He does.
You know? So, you know, we talk about that excess baggage. You know what he wants to do? He wants to relieve us of that excess baggage.
Yeah.
You know, he wants to do something that we wouldn't know how to begin anyway, you see? And that verse before that, it tells us that we need to be humble. We need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, so that when the appropriate time comes, when we're in that pressure cooker, not knowing which way to turn, you know, he will do for us. You see, Isaiah says that there's going to come a time when we, on our walk, will find ourselves on a crossroad. We don't know whether to turn left, turn right, go forward, but we stand still. Scripture tells us, be still and know that I am God. And as we stand still, we will hear a voice behind us. And what does that voice say? He says, walk this way. You know what has happened? We've got ahead of ourselves. And we need to get back.
Yeah.
You know? I'm one of those guys that have three kinds of folders, you know? I have an A through Z folder, a January through December folder, a 1 through 31 folder. I believe in matrices and everything. I write down what I do every day, you know? So when the time comes where I'm almost about to, you know, I could go back and find out where I was when I was doing good. You see? And stop doing those stupid things that were getting me into trouble. You know? See, but you can't do that. You can't do that if you don't know the word. See, that book, for those, you know, 66 books, there really are more than 66 books in the Bible. You do know that, right? Okay, is anybody going to contest that? There are really more than 66 books. If you take, for instance, the book of Psalms, how many books are in the book of Psalms?
450.
See, I used to teach kids, so you see, when you see me, I ask a question, I give you the answer, 5. You know? Here we are today, you know? And we're the most blessed generation in all of mankind, you know?
Yeah.
And because of that, you know, God tells us, you know, please don't do this. Matthew 6:19 and verse 20. He says, do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, but lay up treasures in heaven. In other words, what he is telling us there is that what it says in verse 25, we are to take no thought for our life. You know why? I have this philosophy, you see. If I'm not in charge, I don't worry. And I don't worry because I'm not in charge. So why worry?
Yeah.
But if I'm in charge, I worry. You know why I worry? Because I'm in charge. I got to do something. Either I'm part of the problem or part of the solution. You know? And I don't want to be part of the problem. I want to be part of the solution. And in verse 33, we hit the mark. For there it says that we are to seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all things will be added to us. In other words, we don't have to be in a hurry. We don't have to worry. God is in control. He knows our needs. He knows our wants, you know, and he'll do it for us. You know, I said earlier that I'm always asking. Let me tell you, I ask for everything. I am not shy one bit, you know. And sometimes, I mean, I just talk to God. I says, you know, Lord, I really like, and I tell him what I like. And then all of a sudden, somebody will come up and says, Frank, I feel like God wanted me to give you this. And I say, thank you. Huh? Those that know me know that what I'm saying is true. You know, right now I have a food bank. I got 5,000 square feet. It's about $1.75 a square foot to pay for that place, right? You know how much I pay? I pay $60. If I were to have to pay, I would have to pay something like 5,700 and something, whatever. And I'm paying $60. And when I finally negotiated down to $60, because I told them I don't have the money, you know, and you could do this for me because, well, let's face it, God already told me I have it, so just give it up. I mean, that's exactly how I said it too, you know. So after he gave me the place, I says, you know what, I don't have the money to pay for the electricity. So would you include that in the $60? And you know what? The look that I got was like, are you serious? And I said, of course. Jim has been there, right? And that's the way it is. You know why? Because I live in the Word. And what does the Word say? The Word says that the riches of the world are mine. See, it says us, but you see, I take it personal. The riches of the world are mine. So I ask, I seek, I knock, and I'm relentless. You know, like a pit bull. I take hold of it. It's really mine. It really, really, really is mine. You see, in seeking the kingdom of God, we need to know that, you know, according to Paul, in Philippians 4:19, he says, my God will supply all your needs, my needs, according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Amen. See, I needed the bank. I couldn't move because I couldn't find a place in town. And even if I would have found some place in town, it wouldn't be big enough. And I didn't have the money. So I had to go where the thing was that I wanted and wait. See, sometimes, you know, we get too anxious. But you know what? We're Christians. You know what that means? We're little Christ, you know? And Genesis 1:26 tells us, 26 and 27 tells us that I was created in his image and likeness. So, you know, in Genesis 1, we see that God said, and 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 God said, one more, and God said 11 times there, right? And said, and what happened? What he said took place. But you see, that's the premise. Because in Job 22:28, what does the Word of God there say? The Word of God there tells us this. What you decree shall be done, and the light will shine. In other words, if I speak it, and continue to speak it, and continue to speak it, and continue to speak it. What am I doing? I'm giving birth to what I'm saying. And who's the light that shines? Jesus. See, because I decreed it. I gave it life. I spoke it. You know, I served in the army for 25 years, okay? And when they would ask me, Frank, what are you going to do when you retire? I said, I'm going to retire. Well, what do you mean? I said, I'm not going to work. You know? And don't get me wrong, I do work. I just don't get paid. You know? I don't get paid. I've been retired for 22 years, you know? I'm one of those guys that are pretty lucky, you know? I retired at a very early age. And, hey, I believed in God for everything, you know? I would ask my wife, God, I think God is telling me to do this. What do you think? She's a supporter. She says, go for it. That's my favorite saying, go for it. You know, if you don't go for it, you'll never know. You'll never know. So here I am today. I mean, blessed. You know, when people ask me, Frank, how are you doing? I say, I'm too blessed to be stressed. You know, I am too blessed to be stressed. But you know why that is? Because I believe the word. And I believe in the word. In Isaiah 55 and verse 6, the word there says, seek the Lord while he may be found. You see? If you don't seek him, there's going to be a time when you're going to call out to him and he's not going to be there. And he's not going to be there because you've rejected him. You've closed the door on him. He's been speaking to you, but you haven't listened. You haven't heard. You know, and if you've heard, you've decided, well, that's not for me. But then, you know, seek the Lord while he may be found. But does the verse stop there? No! He says, call upon him while he is near. Where is God? He's right here. He's right here. I don't know if you know it, but he's right here. I just told you at the beginning of this that the Lord is here with the power to heal and to save.
Yes.
You know? And you see all around all these empty spots? They're not empty. You know what's all around all these empty spots? Angels.
Amen.
Angels are right here. You know why? Because they want to know. See, they don't have what we have. What do we have? We have the Word.
Yeah.
We have Jesus in our hearts. The psalmist said, I have kept your Word in my heart, that I would not sin against thee.
Yeah.
You know? What a concept. You see? You have the Word in your heart. Heart. And because of that, you will not sin. You know, when I was, you know, still in, you know, in, on the tightrope, let's put it this way, you know, I would always mess up and feel bad that I messed up, you know, and then I would say, no, he said, Dad, you know, here I am again. You know, I thought I don't know how to pray. I really don't. I know how to talk to God.
Yes.
You know, Dad, I messed it again, you know. I did that which I don't want to do. And you know what? Lo and behold, as I went through the scripture, I found out that there's another guy that did that. Paul, you know, Paul. I said, oh, so you see, I'm not alone, you know. And what about David? Boy, did he mess up. You know, but what does the word say about David? A man after God's own heart. You know? So I figured, there's a premise here. You know? I could be more like one of these guys, you know? Why not? And I learned this. You know? When everything starts to go wrong and I'm messing totally up, you know? And somebody tells me about it, I don't ask them to pray. I go to the Lord. and pray. Because if I go to man, you know what I'm going to receive? Man's rewards. But if I go to the Lord, I receive what? His rewards, you see? So, you know, in those days I used to tell the Lord, Lord, if I'm about to mess up, I need bells and whistles, sirens, all kinds of, you know, clank, clank, clank. I want to hear, you know, so that I'll stop wherever I'm at and do the right thing. And you know what? Because I asked every time I was about to, something was there. But you know what I found? I found this in 1 Corinthians 13, in 1 Corinthians 10, 13, where the word of God there again speaks out to us, and it says that we will not be tempted beyond our means to resist. You see? Because with the temptation, he will give us the way out. Now, if I didn't know the word, I wouldn't know what to do. But I know the word, so I know what to do. You know? So every time something comes up, I consult the word. You know how I consult the word? You know the key? Jesus! Jesus! Wow! And he's right there.
Yes.
He is right there, you know? And Jeremiah 1:12, what does Jeremiah 1:12, at the very end of that verse, what does he say? It says there that he stands ready to perform his word. In other words, he stands ready to do for me what I can't do for myself. Because I'm in a pickle. You see? And being in a pickle is not that bad, you know, because, you know, that means that I'm saved. You understand? You understand that? You see? When we talk about baptism, you know, I ask people that want to get baptized, do you want to be a cucumber or do you want to be a pickle? And they look at me like, Frank, what does a cucumber and a pickle have to do with baptism? I say, well, it's simple. I mean, a blind man could see it. And they look at me like, huh? You know? I say, well, simple. See, you take a cucumber and you immerse it in water and you add a little bit of vinegar. Vinegar is for healing, by the way, you know? They used to use that for healing back then. And once you pull it up, it's no longer a cucumber. It's a pickle. It's a pickle. You see, a metamorphosis has taken place. And that cucumber is now a pickle and could never go back to being a cucumber. So you see, I'm a pickle. And I'm glad for that. You know? Because you see, because I have the word and I believe in the word and I seek the word and I'm continuously knocking and asking, you know? I know I'm safe. I am safe. You see, Jeremiah 1:12 says that he stands ready to perform his will, his word. You see, in Isaiah 55:11 says that his word never returns to him void, but it carries out that which it was sent forth to do. And you know what went on before that, right? I don't have to go there, you know, because his ways are way better than our ways. Yes. You know. Amen. And so, here we are today, you know. And because we have the word, we could seek these treasures out. And in Joshua 1:8, scripture there tells us this, if we are to prosper, if we are to be successful, we need to meditate upon the word. You know, and if you collect dictionaries, I know most of you don't. I know that. But you know, I like looking at old dictionaries because you find the same words with different meanings. In this passage of scripture, meditate means this. To speak the word aloud so that you will be blessed and those that hear you would also be blessed. You know, when I came to the Lord, I didn't know it, but I knew a lot of scripture. You know why? Because my wife is a prayer warrior. She's forever praying. Nothing gets done in the house until she finishes praying. You know? I mean, nothing. Okay? If I'm hungry, I better wait. Because it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Okay? But she would read the word aloud. You know? She would read the word aloud, and you know, she would give addresses out, you know? Could you believe that? Come on. And I would, you know, at that point in time, I was like, what? This woman is crazy. I was a Catholic, a Roman Catholic, you know? But she would speak the word aloud, you know? And she would say crazy things like 1 Corinthians 1:18, you know? You know, and there it talks about, you know, all the nuts and flakes, you know. You know, they call me Pastor Frank, you know, they call me the granola pastor. You know why they call me the granola pastor? It's just because all those that follow me are just fruits and nuts. Fruits and nuts, you know. They think that they're insulting me, you know. I take, wow. I'm in good hands. And it's not Allstate, you know? It's not Allstate, you know? You know, I remember back when they used to call, you know, people would say, oh, here comes that hallelujah guy, you know? And they think that they were thinking that they were insulting us, you know? And I would say, praise God! You know, because all they were saying, here comes that guy that praises God, man! You know, we're in good hands. We're right there. We're not in Neverland. We're in the land, you know. We're free. Amen. We're in like Flint, you see. So, if we want to prosper and we want to be successful, we need to meditate upon the Word. See, it's the Word that's going to do for you what you can't do for yourself. Remember what I said about Hebrews 4:12? Hebrews 4:12 reminds us over and over that the Word is alive and the Word is active. So, you know, once we have the Word, you know, we have the address, we know where to go. You know, we don't need a GPS. We have the address. We can get there, you know. Deuteronomy 30 in verse 11, the Word there tells us that what God asks us it is not too difficult, nor is it beyond our reach. You see? God's never going to ask us to do something that we can't do. You see? In verse 14, it says, no! The Word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so you may obey it. See, that's how come I would speak things and later on I would find them out in the Bible. I said, whoa. How about that? It would blow my mind. I would go on and tell, you know, you've heard me say, and I would show them, you know. That's when you know you're really sold out. When people look at you like, what a fruit. And you don't even realize that they're calling you a flake. You know? Because you're sold out. You're so, well, I mean, what can I say? You know what I mean, right? You're in there. You know that, you know, if he comes today, it's great. You know where you're going. Yeah. And if he doesn't, life is still good. You know, every day above ground is a good day. You see, it's because we have the name. See, it's all about the name. Proverbs 18:10 tells us that the name of the Lord is a mighty fortress. That's right. The righteous run to it and are lifted up. You see? I remember coming back in 89 to Washington, and I was with a friend of mine, and we went to this company, and it said that we had to go around the back, you know? And we were about to go around the back. I said, why do we have to go around the back? Why? What's up with that? We go through the front door. You know? I am a son of the living God. I am significant. I'm important. I used to tell people in the Army, when I was in the Army, you know how come we're doing so good? Because I'm here. I wasn't bashful. I was telling them the truth. You see, in God's zeal to make me look good, He would make them look good. And I would tell them about it. You see, it has nothing to do with you. It's all about me. See, I have Jesus and you don't. And I would tell them like that. And let me tell you, I was in a meeting and they would curse. I would tell them, wait a minute, stop there. You're not going to curse anymore. Because I won't have it. You gonna curse? I'm walking out. And they knew I was fruity enough to do it, so they would stop cursing. You know? You know what I mean? I mean, why should we, you know, compromise our integrity? No! People, you know, who are you? I'm a Christian. I believe in God. You know, before that, you know, I was infantry. Okay? I was one of those guys that had more guns and more bullets than Carter's got liver pills. Yeah. I was one of those guys that walked around with 1, 2, and 3. And in my van, I had a 357 Python. And if you would give me the finger on the road, I would shoot you. Oh, yeah. I would shoot you. If I had 10 gallons of water and you needed one drop of water, I would drink it all and not give you one drop. But you see, that was before. When I came here, God changed all that. You know? Now I give things away. You know what? And the more I give, the more I get. You know? And when people come with requests, you know, I always tell them, well, you know, we'll see what we can do. Let's pray about it. You know, the first time that happened at the food bank, little senior saint there, about 86 years old, he says, Frank, what's up? I said, what do you mean? She says, I've been coming here for over a month. And you never have chicken. I said, chicken? She says, yeah, you never have chicken. I said, okay. Come next week, we'll have chicken for you. We used to be across Safeway at the armory there. I figured I'd just walk across, buy her some chicken, and give it to her. But we prayed about it, and I get a phone call. I'd like to speak to Frank. I said, this is he. I know so-and-so, and he's been talking to me about you, and I have some chicken. Would you like that? I says, yeah, where are you at? I'll go pick it up. He says, no, one of my trucks is in the neighborhood. So where are you at? Where are you at? I told him where I was at, and I figured he would come and give me a couple of packages, you know. He came over with 490 pounds of chicken. Boneless chicken, by the way. Boneless chicken. See how that works? See, you know, I had more chicken than I could deal with. You know, I had this, an Indian friend of mine called me up and said, Frank, I have some salmon for you. And I said, okay. So I got up there in my little truck. I had a little Mazda truck, you know, the little guys, you know. And I went over to get some salmon. When I got there, he says, where's your truck? I said, it was right there. He says, is that, you call that a truck? I said, that's the only thing I have. He said, buddy, you're wrong. I said, what did I do wrong? He says, I can't put the salmon in your truck. I says, why? He gave me over 500 salmons.
Oh my God.
You know, they had cut them open, got the eggs out, you know, hit them with a mallet, you know. So he brought all these big old huge tanks, and he dropped them off at the warehouse. By the time they got there, I had called everybody in the kitchen sink. And I told them, come and get some salmon, because there is no way. I didn't have no way to keep it. You know, I remember this one gal came over and she grabbed the salmon, and the salmon was not really dead. So as she picked it up, the salmon did one of these, and she threw that salmon up, and she screamed, "Aah!" And all I could do was laugh. All I could do was laugh, you see? But why is that? Because you cannot have expansion unless you have made provision.
Yeah.
See? Because we pray because we believe the word and we act upon the word because we activate that word, you know? I mean, if I'm thirsty and I don't go to the sink and open up that spigot, I'm going to stay thirsty. I need to go to the source. And what's the source? The word. John 1:1. You know, he was there in the beginning. He is here today. He's alive. He's active. He was doing for us things that we have no clue. In fact, where is it? In Isaiah 43:19, the word of God there says that I am doing a new thing. Can you not perceive it? I am bringing rivers to the desert. I said, that's Shelton. I said, that's Shelton. You know, in other words, he is bringing life. He is bringing life, you know, because water is life.
Yeah.
When you hear the word in Scripture, water, no S, water, it's always life. Now, when you hear waters, stay away. Stay away, because waters is always rebellion. Okay? You see, in Genesis 1, it says, in the beginning, God created, you know, and then he goes on to say, and the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the waters. There was rebellion from the very beginning, but God had a plan. Genesis 3:15, right? Genesis 3:15, he had a plan. So see, God always has a plan. What does that tell us? We need to have a plan. Right. You know, who are we? Can anybody tell me? I mean, right now, who are we? We're right here. We are New Horizons.
Yeah.
You know, when people ask me, who are you? I say, I'm New Horizons. You know, I've asked people, well, who are you and what church you go to? And they tell me Pete's church, Joel's church. I never heard a church that belonged to some guy. You know? What's up with that? You know? It's the church of God. Yeah. You know, whether it's assemblies, Baptists, it's the church of God. It's not so-and-so's church. Who died and made him king? You know, there's only one king. That's Jesus, you know. And so that's what I'm talking about. So you see, here I am laying before the Lord, getting ready for today. And he's telling me the word, the word, the word, the word. You see, in Isaiah 40 and verse 30, the word there tells us that those that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Now, the key is knowing how to wait. You see? The key is knowing how to wait. How do we wait? We wait in prayer. Mark 11:17 says, my house is a house of prayer for all the nations. You see? But what does he say about those that don't pray? He says, but you, those who don't pray, have made it a den of thieves. So we're a house of prayer. We opened up by talking about the house, oikos, by saying, Beth Simka, the house of joy. This is the house. This is where we're at. This is our Jerusalem. You know? We have a great church. I'll say that again. We have a great church.
Amen.
Yeah, well, that was pretty poor. We have a great church.
Amen.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, I believe that we need to talk about our church.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
And we need to share the vision of our church.
Right.
I believe that when we got here, there was a miracle.
That's right.
The doors were closed.
Yeah.
And God opened them up.
Yes.
There was no money involved. It was a divine appointment.
Yeah.
You see? And he gave us a name. New Horizons. You know what that means to me? The sky's the limit.
Amen. Amen.
I mean, we're the only ones that are holding it back. So we need to speak about our church. Tell the people that come in here what a great church we have. I mean, if we can't talk about ourselves, who's going to talk about us?
Amen.
You know, They asked me, where do you go? I said, I go to New Horizons. The sky's the limit, buddy. The sky's the limit. I mean, we're going. You know, we're like the Energizer Bunny. We keep on going and going and going and going. So if you want to go, you got to come. You see what I'm saying? So in Joel 2:21, the word there tells us that we are not to fear. We are to rejoice. We are to be glad, for the Lord has done and will continue to do great things. You know, if you don't believe that, look it up back there in the India poster, Joel 2:21. And if you look at that passage, Joel 2:21-28, it gives us the blessings. He gives us the blessing. You see, because it's talking about the sacrifice that God has done.
Yes.
But you see, you got to read it and understand it. You know, I believe that I need to feed myself every day. You know what? I could just see myself waiting for somebody to feed me. I'd probably starve. You too. So you need to feed yourself. You need to feed on the Word. You know? And in Isaiah 45 and verse 11, God speaks to us. And what does He say? He says this. Tell me what you want me to do. Did you realize that? Have you ever checked it out? Isaiah 45:11. You know when he says that? When he tells us, command ye me. He is saying, tell me what you want me to do. You see? So if he's telling me to command him, that means that I need to tell him. Tell him what? Tell him what I want. Going back to Mark 11:22, where Jesus says, trust in God. Then in verse 23, he talks about the mountain. You know? Mountain be ye removed. You know? What is he saying there? He's actually saying, he says, don't talk about the problem. Don't talk about the situation. Don't talk about the circumstance. Talk about the outcome.
Yeah.
Talk about the outcome. When we're facing negatives, we need to talk the outcome. You know? Dave said it just a few minutes ago. The guy says, you know, he starts saying, well, the negatives. He says, no, speak the positives.
Yeah.
Speak the positives. Next verse says, pray. Pray. And the next verse, what does it say? He says, forgive. See, if we want to be forgiven, we need to be able to forgive. You know? It's all right there, as clear as day. As clear as day. But if we wait from Sunday to Wednesday, to Sunday to Wednesday, to a special activity or event, you know, we're never going to get there. And I'm not trying to pull a guilt trip. I'm saying that, you know, we have the book.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
And the book is a 10. And a 10 in numerology is a test. See, in the Old Testament, there's 5 sections. In the New Testament, there's 5 sections. 10, a test. Remember when you were in school? And the teacher would say, today we have an open book test.
Yeah.
You knew we were in trouble. Because we didn't take good notes. See, we didn't have an excuse then. So, we have the book. And it's an open book test. You know? I remember back in the 80s, there was a country western song which talked about dust on the Bible. You know? Great song. Because it had truth to it. I mean, I believe that, you know, if you go to any house, there's a Bible somewhere. And some of them have it open in Psalms 91, or they have it open in Psalms 23, or one of their favorite Psalms. But you could ask them about it, and they don't know. They don't know. You know why? They're depending on somebody else. to lead them, to tell them. But you see, what does Scripture say? Let's go back to Deuteronomy 30. If you go to Deuteronomy 30, verse 11. See, this is the offer of life and death. There it says, "Now what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it. Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it. No, the word is very near you. The word is in your mouth and in your heart so you may obey it. See, I set before you today life, prosperity, death, and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess." You see? But let's drop down over here to verse 19. It says, "This day," that's today because the word is always for today. "This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your father." Okay. See, that word holds true today. That word holds true today. In Psalms 91, in verse 15, it tells us there that when we call on him, he will answer us. It tells us that he is with us in times of trouble. He delivers us. He honors us. And in verse 16 it says, "He satisfies us and reveals to us his salvation." And see, that all took place as I laid before the Lord and asked, "What can I share tomorrow?" And that was the introduction. I never got to the message. I'm sorry because the time is up. I was going to talk to you about Psalms 91. You know? But I'll give you a real quick crash course on Psalms 91 because my time is up. I know. You see, I'm excited about what I'm sharing. You know why? Because I know it's true. I know that I know that I know that I know that it's true. And that God is here today wanting to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. In Psalms 91, in the first two verses, it says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." In these two verses, what we have here is assurance. God is telling us that, man, if you abide in me, if you dwell, to abide is to stay. To dwell is to, you're secure. I mean, you can't have it any better. You know? He's going to show up. And he's going to do something for you. And in verses 3 through 8, it talks about the blessing. It says, "Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and ramparts." Another portion of Scripture says, shield and buckler. It says, "You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plagues that destroy at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. See, it's talking about blessing. God wants to bless us. And in order to bless us, He protects us. Verses 9 through 13, it's all about protection. There it says, if you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you, no disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. And the last three verses is all about love. All about love. 1 John 4:8 says, God is love. There it says, because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. Will I satisfy him and show him my salvation? You see? This Psalms, I encourage you to pray it over all your loved ones, your friends, your neighbors, your church. I mean, when you start doing that, you're good to go. You're good to go. You know why? Because it's like the prayer of Jabez.
Yeah.
You know the prayer of Jabez, right? So as you pray this, things are going to begin to happen. You know? I mean, it may take a while, but you know, you have to be like a pit bull. You have to hang in there.
That's right.
As you hang in there, you know, God is going to be doing things. And as He does, you know what Scripture says? It says that you are not to forget Him. You know how I know that? He says, when He does something for you, He tells you, don't forget me. Please don't forget me. You know how I know that? Because that's what the Word of God says. In Deuteronomy, in chapter 8, and in verse 11, be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe His commands, His laws, and His decrees that I am giving you today. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flock grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt. So, you know, God is wanting to do something, you know. And as I laid before the Lord, He told me, word, word, word. What He's actually saying was Torah, the word, the truth of God. Share the truth. Share the truth. Share the truth.